This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
One child left behind in China. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. China plans to put an end to its famous, if not notorious, one-child policy, part of a five-year plan it announced this morning. Families will be allowed to have two children, effectively ending a prohibition that started back in the 1970s. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz is following this for us. Rob, how important is this for China?
It's certainly important when you look at this through the lens of history. Today's announcement marks the end of an era, more than three decades of only children in much of urban China. So symbolically, this is very big news. On the other hand, if you want to look at what this means for China's future, you know, I think the lifting of this planned birth law probably won't have as big an impact as some people think. China now has more urban residents than rural residents, and the cost of living in urban China has risen so much in the past 10 years that many couples are opting to have only one child anyway because it's too expensive to have more. That said, when I told my 40-year-old babysitter of my sons the news of this just now, she said, you know, gosh, I wish the government would have ended this policy 10 years ago. She was a little sad. She has only one son, and she told me that she would definitely have had another child if the government would have allowed it. You know, I think part of the reason China's government is doing this is because its population is getting older and it's going to need more young people to ensure sustained economic growth in the future.
Marketplace's Rob Schmitz in Shanghai, thank you very much. There is confirmation this morning that a huge pharmaceutical merger is in the works. Pfizer wants to buy Allergan of Dublin, Ireland. Allergan is big in Botox and more. Pfizer does a famous anti-epilepsy drug along with Lipitor for cholesterol and Viagra for, you know, Viagra. Nintendo today announced a shift. It's going to make a game for not a game console or a PC, but for smartphones. Just what game will be announced at the end of the year, which is annoying some fans who want details now. Marketplace's Noel King has more on the move toward gaming on the powerful computers we put in our pockets.
Nintendo's MO has been to make games that consumers play on Nintendo hardware, like the Wii and the Game Boy. Jeff Ryan is author of Super Mario, How Nintendo Conquered America.
It is the classic razor and blades analogy from Econ 101. If they start making blades for other people's razors, then they will go out of business making razors.
Ryan says Nintendo didn't want or need to make games for other companies' devices. But things have changed. Increasingly, people play games on smartphones. Eloise Thompson is a research analyst with Ender's Analysis.
A lot of consumers don't want to shell out a couple hundred dollars for another device when their smartphone already costs them an absolute fortune.
What's more, there's a new crop of emerging gamers. Michael Pachter is a retail analyst at Wedbush Securities.
I mean, certainly when they first came out, only, you know, people who with jobs and credit had smartphones. But now, with all these $100 family plans, people are buying smartphones for their 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds.
And that's the market analysts say Nintendo needs to tap into in order to grow. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
This week, we've been reporting on the findings of a new Marketplace Edison Research poll we commissioned about how people in America feel about the economy. About 17% of the people in the sample had student loans. And here's what struck us. Nearly 40% of them said that education wasn't worth the debt. The data is at marketplace.org, but listen to one person with this view, 29-year-old Zach Heppner from Milwaukee, who graduated 4 years ago.
when I made my college decision, I wasn't very sure what I wanted to do. It was more, I just had to go. And it didn't really matter for what or why or where. It was just a matter of getting a degree. I actually went to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and I majored in creative writing. I borrowed almost all the money to go to college. And I had no conception of what, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of student loan debt would look like as an adult or what it would take to pay that back. It was around $30,000 by the time I finally graduated. And my wife still had about $12,000 of student loan debt from her graduate degree. It felt like a huge weight had settled in the middle of my chest. At one point, I think our combined monthly student loan payments were something like $565 a month. We both worked second jobs for a while. If we got some money for Christmas from our folks, we put that toward the student loans. I actually got into a minor car accident with my really cheap used car, but it ended up being totaled and undrivable. So instead of getting a new car, I put the $3,000 or $4,000 from insurance toward my student loans. From the time we really decided to start focusing on it to the time it was paid off was about 4 years. We are currently student debt free, which is something that we both still look at each other and just kind of laugh. We just can't believe they're actually done. It feels really, really good. I am the local purchasing specialist for Outpost Natural Foods. We're a natural foods cooperative. I started there as a 15-hour-a-week grocery clerk and just kind of worked my way up. I started at Outpost long before I had finished my degree and, you know, am now here without my degree being super relevant to what I'm doing. I liked my college. I liked my college experience. It just, man, that debt was super tough. I would say for me personally, it was probably not worth it.
Zach Heppner from Milwaukee. Marketplace's Amy Scott produced that. To see all of the Marketplace Edison Research Poll results, and if you want, you can share the story of your economy by popping over to marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.